Welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment's Oscar special right here on KPHX 1480 AM. Live from Phoenix, Arizona, I am Joseph J. Erdo. Also in studio, Eric Reinert and Kathleen. And this is another song nominated for Best Original Song at tomorrow night's Oscars. Of course, from Moana. Have you seen Moana yet, Eric?
No.
Okay. Well, I know that one person that was really excited about it is Trisha. She loves those Hawaiian things, and of course, Moana set in Hawaii. And speaking of Trisha, she and Dave are out there on location at the Sedona International Film Festival. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Hey, it's great. Hey, Joseph, thank you so much. And you said you're live from Phoenix. Well, we are also live from Sedona, Arizona, for the Sedona International Film Festival. We'll get right to it because we have a great guest, great movie, Blood and Glory. We have Sean Elf, who is the director, producer, and writer of this fantastic movie. Sean, how are you?
Great yourself. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, it's such an honor and pleasure having you here. This is a top-notch movie. Truly one of the best at the festival thus far that I have seen. Describe what this movie is about.
The film, thank you so much for the compliments. I have a great to be here. The film is set in the Anglo-Boer War in South Africa in 1899. And it's a war drama, a big war drama, but it's a character drama as well. And it follows Willem Mortel, who's a farmer and turns militia, a rebel, and fights against the English. And he's the English burn out his farm, and his wife and son thrown in concentration camps, and where they, you know, and they died and are murdered. And he's then off to prisoner of war camp, where he comes across Colonel Swannell, very cruel imperialist, who's got two hobbies, you know, and that is, you know, one sort of messing up the Afrikaners, the Boer prisoners. The other one is rough, regimental rough team, which he really fancies a lot. A boy tries to escape, an old boy, which Willem takes under his wing, and the colonel wants to execute him. Then Willem, our hero, then makes a deal with the colonel, challenging his rapid team with a non-existent rapid team, which Willem will put together from the prison. And if they win, he must spare the boy's life, but if they lose, both will die.
Yeah, this was such a, you know, Joseph, this was, some movies take a while to develop. This started quickly with emotion, suspense, and intensity, and never let up. It's one of those type of movies. It's a real true art, Sean, that you're able to get it in high gear right from the beginning. I mean, it's more an emotional high gear in the beginning, but then it took off with suspense and intensity. How did you do that as a writer to get it in high gear that quickly?
I believe in writing deep into it, get into the heart of the scene of stuff, you know, and drive your narrative further, you know, and then you can spend time on character moments well and with things. So driving each scene and not wasting such time with unnecessary, you know, action and unnecessary, you know, information on screen. And that's what I truly believe in. That way you can always get your audience to pay, keep them, you know, tight on the screen. And keep them driving and going the story.
Yeah, and you certainly did a phenomenal job. Now, you know, this reminds me, and I mentioned this when I interviewed you a little bit earlier, I think it was yesterday, it was sort of the brutality of the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson, where they had a colonel that was completely heartless, completely brutal. You know, in The Patriot, of course, they murdered the little kid of Mel Gibson. And this reminded me a bit about that particular movie, how this colonel also was shameless. I mean, the guy was so brutal. Also, the longest yard a bit, but you had way more meaning and purpose and substance in this movie. Why don't you talk a little bit about the comparison of those movies?
Yeah, thanks for the comparison. Patriot's a great reference. You know, I think also for American audience, the film has to be because, and the comparison between what happened in South Africa, the war we faced with England, and what American also went through with war with England is very similar. And you had farmers fighting, becoming militia, you had untrained soldiers, you know, taking up arms against highly trained special soldiers. And what it was very important to show the cruelty of war, because war is in all forms, there is no good out of war, you know. So the backdrop, it was very important for me to show, go in, start small with the character of the man and what he's going through and the hell that he's going through and the effect of war on him, you know. And those films like Patriot, like Blood and Glory, these films are universal. You know, people are relatable all over the world, doesn't matter where they are. And history teaches one thing, and that's why it's important to tell people, is that it teaches about ourselves and about the mistakes that we keep on repeating.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think Tricia has a question right now. Let me get you over to Tricia.
Yes, one of the things that I love was that Willem did not start out wanting to be a hero. He faced a lot of opposition from his wife about even joining the militia. And then throughout, it's like he's just thrust into these situations where, because of his character, he has to take a leadership role. I thought you did an excellent job of bringing that forward in the film and showing that these were doctors and shoemakers and farmers who took up arms because they believed in their cause. And, I mean, we were cheering, we were crying. You just, you had such a wonderful edge-of-your-seat suspenseness in there. Even though it's a true story, you just brought out both sides so well. I just was very, very impressed. How can our viewers find out more about your film, where they can get information about when it's going to be coming out for the public?
Yeah, thank you so much for the compliment on that. We've got a website. We can go on Facebook, Stone Glory. It's on Facebook, and then we're very interactive. We update people on where we're distributing, where it's coming out. We pick up some sales agents for the non-speaking international market, and hopefully it's looking good for the American market as well. And we will definitely keep you updated on that. Also, we will have VOD releases. Yeah, so please follow us on Blood and Glory on the Facebook site. We've also got a page, bloodandglory.com, to check that out.
Well, yeah, we're going to follow you because I truly think this should be on the big screen. And I certainly hope it is. There's one quote in here that I really enjoyed that I just want to end this interview with. You know, one of the, they call it the rebels or the Boers, right? And the one said, "I don't see how we can win." And that, they're talking about rugby. They've never played rugby. And then someone else said, "Then we will die fighting to live." I mean, that's just quite a remarkable story, you know, a line of the movie, but there's full of gems, and it's definitely a phenomenal movie. I really give it 5 stars, and that's our highest rating. So thank you so much, Sean. We hope we'll be talking with you again, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sedona and Arizona Fed.
Excellent. And as we get ready for our next set of guests, another great movie, we will also, we have another interview. I hope it shows up. He actually won the best short about the train. So we'll start a little bit early with this next film. But Joseph, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Dave. Exciting stuff going on over there.
You would love this movie. There's no doubt about it. It's just such a phenomenal film. But we will we'll have him on again. And now we're going to, joining us right now are the actors. Now, let me ask you, I hear, well, whether it's female or male, you still call them actors, right? Or do I say actors and actresses? I don't even know.
Well, I know I'm an actor, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's an actor, but
what about you, Julie?
I'm pretty happy with either term.
Okay, I don't know what was politically correct because, you know, these days, this time and this age, you know, you hear you can't say this, you can't say that. So I'm just going to say actor and actress, perhaps, or just get it to actors, maybe that's easier. This movie is just truly, it's way different than Blood and Glory. Blood and Glory, action film, suspense, intensity. This was such an upbeat film, such a love story. I mean, it was just, but it had its intensity as well in a different way. And joining us right now, the actors, the stars of Drawing Home, is Juan Redinger. Did I say that right?
Redinger.
Redinger. Wow, I was...
Oh, that's pretty good.
Cigar.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, Redinger and Julie Lynn Mortensen. Julie and Juan, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Okay, so why don't we have one of you describe what this film is about, and we'll give it to Julie.
So this film is about these two people from very different worlds who meet, and they fall in love. And my character, Catherine Robb, she was a debutante, and she was born in Concord, Massachusetts. She lived a life of luxury, and she was actually she was dating John Rockefeller III.
The real John
Rockefeller III. And then, and this is all a true story, then she goes to art school and she suddenly finds herself developing feelings for this mountain man from Banff, Alberta, Canada, named Peter White, who doesn't really have a penny to his name, but they have this deep connection and it kind of it turns both of their worlds upside down.
Yeah, and, you know, I the way I sum this movie up, connected by timeless hearts and souls. Would that be an adequate description, Lon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is something very timeless about the themes that we're dealing with, about finding love for oneself and for another person and kind of trying to overcome the odds to achieve those things.
You know, it was such a, the words I use, beautiful, touching, simple, soulful, those who live by the heart, because certainly, Julie, your character, I mean, Rockefeller? Well, I mean, you know, not many people would turn down a Rockefeller. And but, you know, you had, you were back, that was what, about the 1930. So, you know, back then you were sort of a feisty dude, you know, you had your own mind. Describe that.
Yeah, it was such a treat to play such a radical woman who in the 1930s, you know, she was really searching in a very soulful way for what her purpose was here and, you know, who had this opportunity. She has a line in the movie that I love where she says, you know, Rockefeller is everything I ever imagined, but Peter is like nothing I ever could have imagined. And I think that describes it perfectly, and I think probably a lot of us can relate to when love comes along and you're like, I never would have thought that it would look like this. And but sure enough, you have to trust your heart and not your head, and then you get this wonderful connection.
And you played it perfectly. And I got to tell you, they made you look like a woman in that time frame, 1930. And in person, you're equally as stunning, but you look like, you know, modern age right now. So that's a credit to your makeup artist and the whole way of doing the film. Here's Tricia.
When you have the additional challenge of playing these characters through their lives, but also through some very, very major life-changing events. To me, sometimes love stories in the movies are all happy endings and everything like that. And this being a true story and you guys calling in when that love was challenged more fully than I've ever seen, a love challenged, and you know, you left him for a moment, you know, and Kate Mulgrew did a wonderful job as your mother in this film. I just thought she was wonderful. but tell us about that challenge of, because both of you, your features changed, your whole demeanor changed, phenomenal job. Who would like to go first?
Very idyllic sort of way, but then things shift. And I think one thing that helped in shooting this film is we shot it in different parts. And we called it three different blocks of shooting, largely due to the different seasons that we were trying to capture. We're also shooting in different locations, such as Montreal and different areas around Banff. But I think because we shot it in these different blocks, it so happened that we would shoot the different sections of their lives in these different blocks. So it felt like we were in this different space when we were shooting, just because there were gaps of time between these blocks of shooting, so it allowed us to sort of shift into different mindsets. And as you mentioned, as David mentioned, the makeup, that also really helped sort of put us into these different skins of our characters that were related to the different parts of the story that we were in.
You know, and you're actually from Banff, right? You actually grew up there.
I did.
Yeah.
That was what was really surreal for me. Playing the characters, I learned about Peter White growing up in school, and there's a museum that Peter and Catherine established in Banff that I would visit on occasion, and then all of a sudden I found myself getting to play him, playing somebody that I'd learned about. We were actually filming in their home, which is on the site of the museum, and it was a very personal experience for myself to get to do that. And then, I mean, we'd break for lunch, I'd be walking down the street in my character's costume, and then I'd see people that I went to school with, like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just playing Peter White in the film, and it's just a very surreal sort of experience for me.
Also, you know, we were there in Banff, and Juan's family, they live in the town site, and Peter and Catherine were buried, like, probably two blocks away from the house we grew up in. So,
one block, yeah.
You know, walking from, like, Juan's home to set, you would pass by Peter and Catherine all the way.
It's just so many interesting behind-the-scenes stories on this one. And talk a little bit about the fortune you had that was a blizzard, because this is an indie film, and you got to make use and utilize what's there at that time. Remember the blizzard story?
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's a great story, because as a lower budget film, you're trying to look for production value wherever you can find it, and we were up this beautiful ski resort, Sunshine Village, and we were shooting these really key scenes, and all of a sudden the weather shifted so dramatically, as it can only do in the mountains. And we were there alongside another big, big budget production. It was the Bourne
Identity,
one of the Bournes. And we saw them come down off the mountain, you know, keeping everybody safe. They have a big budget. They can walk what they need to. They can create what they need to create. But we were just like, oh, this is great. And, you know, all the actors were up on the side of the mountain in a blizzard, you know, getting these amazing shots. We were out there for hours. And you're wearing period costume, right? So there's no, you know, Arc'teryx shells. Just you're wearing wool coats. But, you know, we had a great costume designer give us a thermal underwear and warm-up jackets in between, and we survived.
That's some of the great stories. And, you know, the movie, I thought, was just truly a soulmate type of love story, where, you know, it did turn halfway in. A little dark, you know, things happen. I won't say what happened. People need to see the movie. But it did affect Juan's character. And it certainly had an impact on Julie, your character, too. But the true soulmate will always come back. Talk about that.
It's my favorite thing about this film. I feel like there's so many wonderful movies out there that show us how to fall in love. And usually the movie ends once two people have found each other. And my favorite thing about this film is that it continues onwards in their life. And I think that's what real love is all about, you know, that commitment that you find with another person, and your ability to endure struggle, endure challenge, and show up for them and be there for them. So I really admire that film.
And I think something that really brought these characters together was the love for their art, and getting to practice that in this amazing, stunning surrounding, which is the Rocky Mountains. And that's something that sort of, I think, held them together as well.
Yeah, and here's Trisha.
Now, one of the things that I absolutely love, I was trying to get where you got the title from, Drawing Home. Mm-hmm. And in the film, the very beginning and at the very end, that is made so clear to me. So what exactly did you draw the name Drawing Home from? This was actually the filmmaker behind the film, Myra Entertainment, and this wonderful woman, Margareta Bayou. When she saw this piece of history about Peter Catherine, that was the moment that really cinched that she was going to make this film. And, you know, and 8 years later, here she has. But Peter and Catherine, who grew up on absolute different sides of the world and had, you know, no connection, as young children, they drew almost identical photos of a home in the woods. That was, you know, the home that they later built on the Bow River that we shot in. It matches perfectly both of these images. So drawing home in the sense that, you know, you can be destined for someone who lives so far away from you that you have no real logical, rational chance of meeting, but there you go, and you're meant to be.
You know, it's funny, some movies, you know, give you different emotions. And here's one that sort of wrapped up the whole movie. You know, with the two drawings at the similar age, it just almost put everything in that one scene like a little nice package. And that's a sign of a great ending. Juan, you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the way that it was handled in the storytelling, it was, like you say, it just sort of ties everything together and shows that there were almost other forces working to keep these, to bring these two together and to keep them together. I thought it was handled really nicely.
Yeah, the whole movie was, you know, very subtle. And, you know, but these are the type of movies I like. I guess I'm diverse because I love Love and Glory, which was an intense and significant true story. And your true story, too, was more subtle, but its own way of having intensity. I just love both characters. They were connected by art. They were connected by their hearts and souls, and they were just connected in another dimension that you don't usually see, you know, on the big screen or in reality. So really, really appreciate both of you coming in today. You're, you know, we're live on 1480 AM KPHX. And we're hopefully going to talk to someone who won the best short, The Train. Have you met Asher?
No,
not yet. Anyway, maybe we could talk to Joseph for a while. We only have Joseph, a couple minutes left.
I think we're coming up almost on the end of the show. Eric, we still have the ads at the end as well, right? Well, we have ads at the end of the show too, right? Or no? Is it? Okay. All right,
cool. So, yeah. Joseph, I got to tell you, I have seen some really great movies here. And a third one I will mention is Broken Memories, Ron Howard's dad. A phenomenal job.
Yes.
These three are my favorite: Blood and Glory, Drying Home, and Broken Memories. And they have, what, hundreds of films there, don't they? Yeah. I mean, and that's a credit. So we're going to have to get them all of these fine talents, amazing talents, on the show again and track their progress, because I will be, it's 80, it's all these three movies. We didn't review Broken Dreams right now live here, but all these, 80% of the films on the big screen, you guys have it on those much better, I think.
All right.
Well, I hear the music.
Yes, Dave, we're almost out of time. Dave is live at the Sedona International Film Festival. Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Yes, next week, Breakthrough Entertainment's Cat Show, I believe. Meow. Meow. And don't forget, tomorrow night, the Oscars, ABC. Check them out all day long. Eric, thank you so much. Joseph, thank you so much.
Joseph, thank you so much.
Breakthrough Entertainment, KPHX 1480 AM. Have a fabulous Oscar weekend, everybody.